Coming up in this morning's business news, question mark over effectiveness of further rate cuts, Fletcher Building faces uphill battle across the Tasman, and the latest from the money markets. Questions are being asked about the value of any further rate cuts by the Reserve Bank. Yesterday, the central bank held its official cash rate unchanged at a record low 1.5%. It had cut last month after being on hold for more than 2 years, and in its latest decision has signalled that further easing is likely to be needed to counter slowing conditions at home and abroad. A senior economist to consultancy Infometrics, Brad Olson, says another rate cut in August looks like a done deal. But he questions the value of going lower because cuts are becoming less effective in stimulating the economy.
My point on whether or not there will be future cuts or not is it going to change the fundamentals? Is it actually going to increase investment coming through? And our view since the OCR was at 1.75 is that it wouldn't increase that investment to enough of a degree to change the economic outlook.
So if we're not going to get too many bangs for the buck, the question is, are further cuts really necessary if they're not going to give us that much oomph? Or is this really a case of putting in place a safety net?
Well, I think we're squandering our safety net at the moment, because what we've got is we're reducing the rest of the ammunition we have in terms of monetary policy. We haven't necessarily got fiscal policy able to respond as quickly as we might like it. And that means if we do have an unexpected shock that hits our economy, we don't have as much monetary policy room to play with. I guess the point I'd make is that when we've got business investment that is already low, it's going lower, and to be honest, it's not the borrowing costs were too high for businesses. There are other things that are restricting a lot of our investment that's happening in New Zealand, and it's not going to be by lowering the OCR that we're going to necessarily get that increased investment that we think we need.
Brad Olson of economics consultancy Infometrics talking with business editor Giles Beckford there. Construction giant Fletcher Building is hoping it can breathe life into its Australian business despite a market slowdown in house building there. Building consents across the Tasman are expected to fall over the next 18 months before picking up in 2021. This year, the company's Australia division is expected to deliver $55 million in underlying earnings below the performance Fletcher expects. But the chief executive, Ross Taylor, says it's not just the market causing problems.
Fundamentally, the two most profitable businesses were Laminex and Stramit, and unfortunately both those businesses are more skewed to the residential sector than our other businesses. So that was really the main dynamic that went on there as that residential market came off. More broadly than that, there's market issues here which I've talked about, but there's equally self-help issues. And, you know, we can deal with the self-help issues, and that's what that whole reset's been about. So, and that's been very important to do, and we've put a lot of work into that to get ourselves through that this year, because we had to, and the market, if anything, probably helped us get focused and helped force us to take any sacred cows off the table and really get into the businesses and work out what we had to do to reset them.
Fletcher Building's Chief Executive Ross Taylor. And the Managing Director of Salt Funds Management, Matthew Goodson, says it's surprising to see Fletcher's doing worse than expected across the Tasman. He says it could hinder its success going forward.
A fair degree of the planned turnaround in Fletcher Building's fortunes does depend on turning around the Australian business. So to be starting from a base which is a good deal below earlier expectations does make it a tougher hill to climb. Those businesses in Australia have certainly earned a great deal more in the past, but at the same time, it is going to be hard to turn them, given that we're in a, while the Australian infrastructure and non-residential cycle is strong, residential is weakening there at the moment.
What do you make of Fletcher announcing that it's going to re-enter the vertical construction market in New Zealand?
It does make sense. In fact, announcing in the first place that they were going to exit was something that was rather bemusing, because clearly that made some of their key staff potentially available to others. So, the market is changing. It's a highly cyclical market, these large projects. And right now, I suspect any new projects are being priced very fully indeed.
The Managing Director of Salt Funds Management, Matthew Goodson, talking to Madison Reedy. The government's been given another pass mark for its broad economic policy approach, this time from the heavyweight group, the International Monetary Fund. In its preliminary annual report on the country, it says the economy has slowed, but it should pick up going into next year. The IMF says downside risks for the outlook are growing at home and abroad, particularly from the trade disputes. But it gives broad support to the government's policy approach of spending on infrastructure, improving housing supply, relaxing its debt target, and strengthening the financial sector. Similar to the OECD report the day before, the IMF said the country needs to improve productivity. The head of the IMF mission, Thomas Helbling, says there are some ways that could be helped.
While recognizing that it is low and that one would wish it to be higher, we would note, though, that New Zealand has a continued productivity growth. It has not necessarily declined as much as elsewhere. So while it is desirable for productivity growth to increase, I think one should still see that there is productivity growth. In terms of measures, I think we have to go back to the fundamentals, namely supporting capital accumulation and supporting what we call human capital. On the capital side, we have been highlighting the need to close infrastructure gaps and also to strengthen human capital through education. Here, too, there have been has been increased spending on education. There has been renewed emphasis on the infrastructure for education and keeping vocational training afloat. And the third point, the R&D tax credit is very welcome.
The head of the IMF New Zealand review team, Thomas Helbling, and the final report is expected sometime in September. The man responsible for one of the biggest company rebrands New Zealand has ever seen acknowledges it was probably the boldest move of his career to date. In his 7 years as Spark Chief Executive, Simon Moota rebranded the telco from the old Telecom, carried out a costly restructure, and in his most recent play, positioned Spark to aggressively bid for sports content rights for a new Spark Sport platform. In his last week in the job, Mr. Moota sat down with Madison Reedy to reflect on his career.
It's been quite a journey, and you know, you have to test your mettle a few times when you make those big calls, but we've done it, and I've been backed by a fantastic team who've executed really well, and so those big choices have come off, thankfully.
What was the hardest decision of those that you had to make?
The biggest decision by far was the rebranding. I mean, it's not every day you confront a choice to ditch, you know, what at the time Telecom was probably the most, if not the most, one of the top five known brands in New Zealand. It would have had a valuation on it in the billions, and to, you know, choose to ditch it and adopt a brand new name in Spark was a very big call, probably the biggest call I'll ever make in my career.
And Simon Moota has ruled out a move into politics, but says he can imagine being the chief executive of another company, or perhaps even starting his own. Turning now to the markets, Wall Street fluctuating a bit this morning, currently in the positive, although off the highs the indices saw earlier. Tech stocks up generally. Optimism about trade talks heading into the G20 summit this weekend, following some comments by the US Treasury Secretary, seeing those indices rise. The Dow Jones average up 53 points, about 0.2%. That broader S&P 500 up close to 0.2%. And the tech-heavy NASDAQ up 0.4% this morning. Our own local top 50 index snapped its three-day record-setting run, closing down 10 points. Starts today at 10,408. The New Zealand dollar a bit firmer, 66.8 against the US, 95.6 against the Australian, 52.6 British pence, 0.587 euro, 72 yen and 4.6 yuan. Brent crude oil up about 2% this morning, about $1.30 higher at $66.38 US dollars a barrel, and gold down $13 this morning, almost a percent at $1,410 US an ounce. And the Reserve Bank says it plans to get tougher in the way it supervises and regulates banks. The Deputy Governor, Jeff Baskind, has told a financial markets conference that banks should expect it to become more intense and intrusive. He says the ANZ Bank's failure to use approved risk calculations proves why the central bank needs to toughen its stance. And he says over the past 10 years, it's learned banks and insurers can't be relied on to discipline themselves. Mr. Baskind says the tighter regime will happen even if banks are required to hold more capital. The central bank will enforce the requirement for extra evidence and verifications and will be more proactive in holding directors and managers to account. Mr. Baskan says both banks and insurers should prepare for more reviews and stress tests, with one on bank liquidity already on the horizon. And that wraps business news for now. I'll be back with more from the markets at 8:30.